Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. This week, the Pope visited the Middle East, but his visit was not without controversy. Even before he arrived, he already made the statement that he hoped that the power of the Catholic Church could contribute to bringing peace to the Middle East. And then he clarified that he wasn't speaking about political power, but spiritual power. But it became obvious that he didn't arrive there in the Middle East just as a leader of a spiritual church organization. He also arrived as a head of state, the head of state of the Vatican City, which is a political power. Now, that state may not be one of the biggest. It is most certainly one of the richest. When he arrived in Jordan, they played the national anthem of the Vatican State, and they also waved the national flag of the Vatican State. The Vatican State, as I said, is a political power. It has ambassadors, which it sends all over the world, and it receives ambassadors from all kinds of countries from all over the world. But as I said, when he arrived in the Middle East, he caused some controversy. First, he was making the statement that he was looking for a homeland of the Palestinians. Now, he didn't say state, but nevertheless, it was clear that he meant that. And that brought him into conflict with President Netanyahu of Israel, who at this point has not declared his willingness to allow that. Let me now read to you what happened next. The Associated Press wrote on May 12th that he gave a speech at the Holocaust Memorial. But this speech attracted most attention in Israel, with the parliament speaker accusing Benedict of glossing over the Nazi genocide. Newspapers lambasted him for failing to apologize for what many in Israel see as Catholic indifference during World War II and the Pope's own wartime actions. Actually, Der Spiegel Online pointed out that also Jews in Germany were upset, and they quote the Central Council of Jews in Germany blasting the Pope for failing to more clearly distance himself from the Society of Saint Pius and the Holocaust denial of Bishop Richard Williamson. And then the newspaper, Der Spiegel Online, adds the following interesting comment. When Pope John Paul II spoke at that memorial in 2000, he promised that never again would the Church permit the persecution of Jews. His successor, Benedict, has renewed the promise, but in a far more generalized form, and that is what he said. As Bishop of Rome and successor of the Apostle Peter, I reaffirm, like my predecessors, that the Church is committed to praying and working tirelessly to ensure that hatred will never again reign in the hearts of men. Now, that's quite a different statement. That's very general. It's not focusing on the Jews at all. It's talking about hatred towards all men. Let me just ask at this point, because that trip of the Pope was carefully crafted by the Vatican, how come that he didn't say more than what he actually did? The speech he gave was also drafted by the Vatican, and he read the manuscript word for word. Deutsche Welle added the following on March 13. Speaking in Bethlehem after holding a mass, the Pope pressed calls to remove the wall and watchtowers that seal Bethlehem off from Jerusalem. A watchtower and a wall which was built by Israel at the time in order to prevent terrorists from coming over into the country. Now, that also created some conflict and some controversy. The Deutsche Welle article goes on to say that on Tuesday, a row erupted over the Pope's membership as a teenager of the Hitler Youth as he paid an historic visit to the holy sites in Jerusalem. But now Vatican spokesman Lombardi said the Pontiff had never belonged to the organization. And of course that caused quite a furor, because even the Pope admitted in his autobiography that he did. And so later he had to retract that statement and said, oh, but he was compelled to be a member. So again, another development which didn't really put the Catholic Church and the Pope in a very good light. The Jerusalem Post kind of summarized the visit of the Pope on May 15 as follows. Benedict met with the city's Greek Orthodox and Armenian Orthodox patriarchs, part of the outreach effort towards the Orthodox Christians, which he is engaging in. During his visit, he led 50,000 worshippers in a jubilant mass outside of Nazareth in an effort to rally his flock. He removed his shoes to enter Islam's third holiest shrine, and he followed Jewish custom by placing a note bearing a prayer of peace in the cracks of the Western Wall. He met with Israeli and Palestinian leaders, and he won appreciation from Palestinians for endorsing their call for an independent state, but some Israelis were disappointed with his treatment of the Holocaust. And then when he left, he gave another speech where he tried to clarify things, but notice what he said. He said that he referred to Jews brutally exterminated under a godless regime, and he also referred to what he called a tense relationship in the past between Jews and the Catholic Church. But then he again brought up the wall and said that that was one of his saddest moments when he saw that wall. And so this article concludes by saying that in Israel, many remember the excitement sparked by the charismatic John Paul when he arrived in 2000 for the first official visit here by a pope. Benedict's visit seemed to suffer in comparison, and that's mildly put. But the question we should ask ourselves is this: why did this happen? How come it happened if everything was so carefully planned? I would suggest to you, my friends, that it happened because something more is going on behind the scenes. Remember the statement of the Pope that he believes that the power of the Catholic Church can bring about peace in the Middle East? The Bible clearly says that in these last days, Europe and the Catholic Church on the one hand, and Arab states on the other, will build and form a confederacy against the nation of Israel. This apparently is happening because of unilateral actions by Israel. Perhaps another war in Gaza. Perhaps an attack on nuclear Iran. And so Europe and the Catholic Church will try to stop that war, which may be going on, by bringing peace to the Middle East and building a confederacy with other Arab nations. And what we are seeing right now leads to the conclusion that this kind of an idea might already be present in the minds of the Vatican. Now, some have pointed at a scripture in Daniel 9 and have said that there's going to be a treaty between the Catholic Church and Europe on the one hand and Israel on the other. Now, that, my friends, is not what the Bible says. And even though there are some few commentaries who bring that up, most commentaries reject that concept and say Daniel 9 has nothing to do with a prophecy regarding a political leader insofar as the last days are concerned, building a confederacy with Israel, because other scriptures clearly deny that. They say just the opposite. That's a passage which talks about the death of Jesus Christ. And when he died, of course, the old covenant ended and the new covenant was brought into existence. My friends, we are bringing you these programs, and this is, by the way, the 204th or so program of the Standing Watch. And we are also publishing quite a number of booklets. We have already published about 28 booklets, and some of them deal with prophecy. And we are also sending out a weekly update, which is by now about 20 or so pages in average, on average. And you can get all of these publications and the literature by just going to our website, standingwatch.org, or by going to our website, eternalguard.org. And you can see all these publications online. You can also subscribe to a free weekly update subscription, getting that via the email. And we are doing this for free, my friends, because we don't believe in asking the public for money. We believe that God is going to provide the funds for us so that we continue making our voice known to those who might want to hear as to what is happening, and more importantly, why it's happening and what is going to happen in the future. We believe that God will provide the funds to us by putting that into the mind of some who want to voluntarily contribute to this work, but we don't believe that we should ask the public for money. But we do believe that it is important that we continue this work and letting you know what is happening and why is it happening based on biblical prophecy. And I do believe that the events which just took place in the Middle East pertaining to the visit of the Pope in that area is of interesting importance. And so thank you very much for watching and stay tuned, because we will continue to inform you about what is happening in this world and why and what you can expect to happen very soon. This is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.